You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to another hour of Civic Media Spotlight. This week, the Maggie Dawn Show spoke with Jenny Maurer, the executive director of Wisconsin Head Start, for a discussion on how the organization is navigating the federal shutdown.
If you're speaking out, I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go. Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Thursday afternoon, one and all. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, last week, Thursday, one federal judge said, "Dear Donald Trump, you must feed Americans." And on Friday, another federal judge said, "Dear Donald Trump, you must feed Americans." On Monday, just this past week, Monday, the Trump administration says, "Yeah, we'll feed Americans, but not totally. Maybe they'll get half." And then, bizarrely, late Monday, early Tuesday, Donald Trump said, "But no, not really. I'm not going to feed Americans after having the greatest Gatsbyist, let them eat cakeiest, Nero fiddling while Rome burningest party of all time on Saturday at his gilded gold palatial palace in Florida." It's all a bit unseemly. But here's the thing about SNAP benefits. They have knock-on effects in all kinds of other programs. And so as we all struggle to figure out when these benefits will actually hit people's SNAP cards, we've got a great guest to help us understand some of these knock-on effects right here in Wisconsin, especially effects in the Head Start program, which is one of the most effective early education programs that our country has ever seen. And again, all of this being made much, much worse and continuing on with much pain because of the shutdown. And we've got all of these factors intersecting for what could be quite a little perfect storm. With all of that as prequel, Jenny Maurer, head of Wisconsin Head Start Association here in our home state. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Jenny, to help us understand how all these things stitch together and have impacts on everybody's kids here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's just get right down to brass tacks. Head Start, extraordinarily successful federal program. Tell us a little bit about what Head Start is, when did it start, and how many kids does it serve here in the state of Wisconsin? Why is it so important?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So here in this year, we're celebrating Head Start's 60th birthday. It was technically in May, but I think we can keep celebrating because, as you said, Maggie, Head Start is really one of the cornerstones of the anti-poverty movement here in Wisconsin and across the nation. And I really like to think of Head Start as a program for working Americans. You know, as a parent myself of young kids, my kids are 10 and 7. I know that I couldn't be here right now if my kids weren't in a safe and nurturing environment. They're school age now. But if my kids didn't have childcare when they were younger, I couldn't get to work. And that's the same story for nearly 15,000 kids and their parents. That right now, those 15,000 kids, the majority of those kids, their parents are working parents. So they're our friends, they're our neighbors. They're working in our hospitality industry. They're working in our schools. They're working in our hospitals. So they're really a part of the economic backbone of our state. So while it's definitely an anti-poverty program that helps do tremendous things for kids in the long term, has great economic benefits, it's really a part of our economic infrastructure today in our state. So it's really helping families today to get to work, and it's driving our economy in the state. When you put all of the Head Start programs together in our state, we're one of the top 100 employers in Wisconsin. So we're helping parents get to work. we're employing people in Wisconsin, and we're spending, Head Start is spending money in the state, buying goods and services all across our state in every pocket of Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's so many parallels between the closures' potential impacts on Head Start and the economic drag that Donald Trump's refusal to fully fund SNAP benefits also has on the economy, right? In similar form, just as you said, people that work in agriculture, people that work directly in the Head Start programs. That's one source, right, of economic boost. But it's so essential for folks, as you mentioned, the vast majority of families with kids enrolled in Head Start programs and early Head Start programs here in the state of Wisconsin are working. They need that program so that they can go to work. Folks that are using SNAP benefits to make it through, they're using those benefits because the entirety of their paychecks otherwise are being used to pay rent or try to access healthcare. And we need those people to remain in the workforce. It is not good if people cannot go to work because they can't access Head Start or they don't have that additional help that SNAP benefits provide. Talk about the geographic distribution of Head Start participation, some of the demography of how it works here in the state of Wisconsin, because in every single community, someone is using Head Start.
Yeah, so Head Start serves, again, over 15,000 kids from Ashland, way up at the tip of Wisconsin, to Racine at the bottom of Wisconsin, and then in both directions, east and west. So we're in you know, almost every county. There's 39 Head Start programs across the state, and there are Head Start programs that are serving as few as 17 kids, I think is maybe the smallest program. And then there are some really large programs in our urban centers like Milwaukee and Madison. And, you know, Head Start is really filling in for those greatest needs, especially in rural Wisconsin, where there is really just a lack of childcare. So those childcare deserts, and really serving as a springboard for success for families. So really helping to provide not only that no cost childcare, but really working on the family goals that a parent identifies for themselves, whether that's getting additional job training or more stable housing. It's really wrapping those comprehensive services around families to help them with, again, things that they identify that they want to work on so that they can find success and happiness for their family. You know, it's just those things that, again, we all want for our for ourselves as we're going through those really intense times when you're raising young children. It's finding that economic stability so that you can, you know, work on that American dream that we're all striving for here in this country.
So much there, Jenny. Folks, if you're just joining us, my guest for this half hour, her name is Jenny Maurer. She is the executive director of the Head Start programs here in the state of Wisconsin. How many families, how many kids are at risk of losing these, what I'm going to call essential services? And it's not just, quote, childcare. Childcare is early childhood education, which I think is a key element of the Head Start program that people need to keep in mind. How many kids are at risk if we do not see funding come through? And how is Head Start funding? Do you get like one big chunk a year? Does it come monthly, quarterly? How does it work?
Yeah, so that's there's not just a simple answer to that question, Maggie. So I'm going to give you kind of a primer on how Head Start funding works, because it's not just like a check that I have a Head Start grant and I go and I get one big lump sum deposit from the federal government. There's a huge amount of regulatory and process oversight from the federal government, and all of those different Head Start grants that are, again, covering our entire state, in part to lessen the burden of oversight from the federal government, which I think a thing to keep in mind is that when the Trump administration took over, they consolidated dramatically the staff at the federal level to monitor and process grants. So we've seen a huge contraction of the availability of the folks to monitor and process these grants. Now, for the 39 organizations that run Head Start grants in Wisconsin, they have grant renewal dates in every single month except October. So what that means is that here in November, we have two organizations that are waiting for their grant renewal. And what the important thing about that grant renewal is that's what you need. There's two things that are important about that grant renewal. You need that piece of paper from the federal government, and you need a federal budget. Without those two things, a grantee, so Southwest CAP, so that's one of the grantees that closed this week because they don't have that paper and there's no money from the Fed because the federal government is not doing its job. That grantee can't pay its bills. They can't buy food to pay for those services for kids and families, and they can't put paychecks out for those workers who are working in those organizations. So again, we have two organizations that are waiting for that grant renewal. Then looking ahead to December, we have three more grantees that will be, if this continues, we have three more organizations that will be in this position in December. And then that continues again in every month except October. So it's an ongoing process where they're waiting for that federal funding. I'll pause there and ask if you have any questions. It's complicated.
The piece that I want people to hear about is that, again, the programs aren't monoliths. There's a lot of local disbursements. There's a lot of administration that attends to this. But the big top line that I want people to hear is the first part that you said, Jenny. And that is, irrespective of the current shutdown, which will end and funds will flow again, what the Trump administration has done, as they have done in virtually every single program that helps working people, folks that may be experiencing a short-term economic hardship, and middle-class families trying to make things work in the era of Donald Trump's tariff terror and rising prices on basically about everything, is that what he has done, irrespective of the shutdown, is to attack and reduce the number of folks that work to administer these programs. Right, making it harder for the local agencies to access them, harder than for the at the federal level to even process the grants, the grant applications. It is, as I say every day at the top of my 5 o'clock hour, their whole objective is to break the thing, not to make it better, not to make it more efficient, not to reach more people, but to literally pull the rug out from under these programs by depriving them of both the funds, but also the personnel to administer the programs. That is the real pernicious and frankly more hidden element. Again, the shutdown will end, but his attacks on the program itself, the efforts to defund it writ large and deprive it of the staffing it needs to operate, are not going away anytime soon. Anything that I said there, Jenny, before we take a few messages that you would like to correct, because I think that is the top line that people need to be understanding.
Yeah, I think the thing that I would hope that your viewers really take home is that Head Start families are working families. It has been, you know, just a really difficult time, both before this shutdown started. These folks are working so hard to care for their kids. These programs are working so hard to make ends meet and to make sure that families are getting to their jobs and to keep the doors open, and that these are our friends and neighbors that are keeping our economy running.
We're going to talk about what your family might do if you're in a Head Start program, outreach efforts, the timelines here, some of the practicalities, the logistics. When we come back on the other side with the executive director of the Wisconsin Head Start Association, Jenny Maurer. Stay with us. Important information ahead right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
During a Wausau cut-in on WXCO during Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, Chad Holmes sat down with the folks from the Mosinee School Board.
I'm Chad Holmes, and this morning, hearing a conversation I had late last week with the president of the Mosinee School Board, Paul Novinsky. And we continued by talking about the importance of listening to the constituents even in a case where you may disagree on a potential item for a referendum, like we saw in Mosinee in the past year.
Chad, absolutely correct. I spent most of my coaching, teaching career building relationships and building teams that were better than individuals. Paul Nowinski is just one person, and I don't know everything. Matter of fact, construction is one thing you do not want me to do. You don't want me to build a doghouse because your dog would not like me. So the concept is to, how can we create something better than one individual? How can our community do it? And so I made the motion for the referendum, and we sent out numerous surveys and to get responses, and then we went and talked to people. I love just going for a Friday fish fry at a local place and, hi, hey, tell me what you think. And that's a big factor I think we were missing, where they weren't listening. You, there's a big thing, I can hear you, but will I listen to you? And their input is really important, and it was. We had some major fundamental problems in the Mosinee School District with facilities. We had a cafeteria that was built in 1965. We had pipe issues. At one point, the ovens had caught on fire. We had locker rooms that were not remodeled since 1965. We had tech ed rooms that weren't adequate for what we were trying to do. Woods Project space, things like that. We had security issues. We had some roof issues. We had some fundamental issues. Initially, there was talk of adding a gymnasium. And this is what you alluded to. Personally, I was all for the gymnasium. But that's not what the constituents in the Mosinee School District said. And that's what I was representing. So when I made the motion, we took the gym out. And there was no need for it. 30% of the people said they would support a gym when 70 said no. And so we went with what we felt we could show the people was legitimate concerns and was very financially responsible with their money. So we went for $19.75 million to basically fix all the issues, the cafeteria, the locker rooms, some of the space, the doors, windows, things that needed to be fixed, especially security. Securities, yeah. And I hope this never happens to anybody, but you have to be prepared for some things that if they do happen. But we wanted to have a two-door entrance where if somebody tried to get in, they would have to go through two security phases, and then we hope that would be time to get the proper authorities there. So we did that. We then went and did a campaign of informing our voters, vote yes signs. Mm-hmm. I spent most of my time going to local establishments and taking the pictures, the brochures, and just honestly answering the questions about what this will cost you, why we're doing it, and then we had open houses.
Mm-hmm. Remember that.
Don't believe me totally. Mm-hmm. Come in and check it out for yourself. We'll show you where those pipes are leaking. We'll show you this, you know. And
you mentioned that you had somebody come in and said, hey, that's my locker from 1972.
Yep, there was one guy that came in and said, yep, that's the same football locker I had in 1972.
And one other point I'll make is that the discussion that we had on these airwaves back in the run-up to that referendum with the school board president and your superintendent, you were the one that facilitated it. So obviously communication is a hallmark for what you're trying to accomplish within your community.
According to the Mosinee School Board policies, the president is the spokesperson. So that's why I felt it was Mr. Hermaning to come in and did a great job, Mr. Doverspike, and really did a nice job, and you did a nice job of just getting the information out. This isn't political.
Right.
This is all about what is the right thing to do, and they were very honest and very transparent. And through all this, through the campaign of yes, going out to talk to people, positively answering questions, making sure the concerns were addressed, it passed last year in November, 65%.
And you don't see that very often, to be honest with you.
I think we had 34 referendums in Mosinee fail.
I mean, and to pass, and it makes, and bottom line is, when you do have a referendum that passes, you don't want it to be 50 plus 1%. I mean, it's like, yeah, you want it to be where the community says, yes, this is what we want. And that, I thought that was, something that was very much a very important piece of showing how it should be done.
Well, and then, Jed, we had talked off the air, and we're going to talk now about it, but almost 70% of all the constituents in the Mosinee School District really don't have kids or grandkids that are in the school. And so we wanted to provide an opportunity to build relationships, and how can we help you? How can you use the school? How can we let you see your tax dollars that will benefit you? Well, we have a great pool. Mm-hmm. The Kresge pool is just incredible. We have open swim. We have aerobics open to all of our members of our school district in the morning all the way to like 9 o'clock. We have Saturday, Sunday, Friday. You can use our pool all the time. You can have birthday parties in the lobby. You can use our Kresge lobby and then use the pool for your birthday party. You can use our auditorium, our library. You can use our facilities. We have dance studios come from Wausau to use. Now, we charge them because they're not, you know, it's not a great amount, but they love it because it's a state-of-the-art auditorium. It's just wonderful. And so one of the things we want to do is, how can we provide a benefit to you that maybe don't have a direct impact with a child?
And we will continue with a few more minutes of the conversation with Mosinee School Board President Paul Davinsky. We'll be back at 7:52 for our next segment of the WXCO Morning Report. More Pat Kreitlow coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. A big announcement occurred on the airwaves this week with Jane Matinair announcing on Matinair On Air that she will be retiring after 44 years in broadcast radio. We wish you the best, Jane. Here's a little bit from her announcement earlier this week.
Welcome to Matinair On Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. As promised, we do have
a big announcement.
A special announcement.
Special big announcement.
Special big announcement. Big special announcement. Calvin, hit it.
That's weird. There it is. Wait.
It's coming.
There we go.
After 44 years in radio.
Yeah.
The past three at Civic Media.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 2 years as host of this show, Matinair On Air. I am happy to share with you that I am going to be retiring next month.
Excuse me?
I am going to retire in December.
Sorry, my
this year
brain just went into a dull, faint humming sound. All I'm hearing are lies being spewed by this clear robot that's replaced our beloved Jane, who will never leave radio.
It's time. And I really just want to take this opportunity to say thank you. Really.
Yeah.
Thank you for four decades of welcoming into your homes and your cars and your garages and your barns or wherever you listen to the radio. Thank you so very, very much. I have been so fortunate for the last 44 years, whether I shared the loss of a pet or the loss of a boyfriend or the loss of a job, or I celebrated getting a pet or getting married or getting a job.
Or getting a boyfriend.
That too. You grieved with me. You celebrated with me. You gave me words of comfort and encouragement and congratulations and well wishes. And the stories that people have shared with me over the years through your phone calls and your emails and your texts and even your voice notes have made my life much richer much fuller, and most definitely much funnier.
All right.
So thank you to my colleagues, Greg and Calvin, past and present, everyone here at Civic Media. I am so proud. I am so proud to finish up my career on this incredible network. This is just the beginning, everybody. This is just the beginning for new chapters ahead.
New chapters ahead. And this is, I mean, you are retired. You're announcing your retirement. This is by no means the last day we're going to be.
My last show will be December 12th.
There you go.
And we're going to have some special guests and special things.
And special laughs.
And special laughs.
And I guarantee you she's going to cry.
Oh, I will absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Be a blubbering mess. but thank you all so very, very, very much from the bottom of my heart. It has been an incredible ride. It's been remarkable. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would spend 44 years doing this.
Yeah. I mean,
and for the most part, stayed employed. It's shocking.
And you got to, you know, I don't know, like the past 3 years have been wonderful to watch you just take the reins of a show and really mold it into something special.
It has been so much fun.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that this has been the most important work I've ever done. Mm-hmm. Again, I thank Civic Media for giving me this opportunity, which is very rare. And for anyone who knows media and how media works, it's pretty unusual for a 60-something woman to be given her own show.
Yeah.
It really is a rarity. And so thank you to Civic Media for believing in me and trusting in me and giving me this opportunity. It's been incredible. I have learned so much.
Yeah.
I've learned so much. And hopefully we had some laughs along the way.
Well, what are you talking about? We've had lots of laughs.
We had lots of laughs.
We had lots of laughs today.
We did.
Yeah. So
Laughing is good.
I don't think you need to worry about that. And I'm going to let you into a little secret in the world of Jane and our conversations. One of the things that she's always worried about is that this whole thing, whether it's this show or your career, hasn't had an impact on people. And I think you know very well that's not the case.
But you know how difficult it is because this is very much a one-sided communication medium.
Yeah.
And so we say things and they go out into the ether and you don't know how that lands lot of times.
But just from the announcement that's been announced certainly before, we just made this announcement a few minutes ago, people are already sending in their well wishes and telling you that you know, from Sue from Franklin, simply, no! She's like, seriously, congratulations. A well-deserved retirement. Dan from Wausau, congrats. Carmela from Milwaukee, OMG, Jane, thank you. Please pop in once in a while or give us updates. Loves ya, Carmela. And Chris Casper says, I already miss Jane.
Thank you so much.
I think that we will be having wonderful, wonderful questions. I read a word question. We'll be having wonderful conversations, talking about the memories, talking to some friends from the past. Who knows who will stop by, but we will have wonderful discussions and just be a part of it. And you're going to find out more by going to civicmedia.us/shows. I look for Matt and Air on Air. If you go to the front page, there's actually, you can go right there. It just says the big announcement and you can click more. We got a press release out because we want to tell the world this is an important thing. You're important.
Well,
deal with it.
I really appreciate
that. You're important.
I also just want to share that, by the way, to the disappointment of some, I'm not getting shoved out and I'm not being forced out and I'm not hanging on by my fingernails going, saying, no. We talked about this for a long time ago. When I started as host of this program, and I told the managers here at Civic that I wanted to retire by the time I was 66. I'm going to be 66 shortly after the first of the year. Mm-hmm. This was always the plan.
Yes.
This was always the plan.
Yeah.
And again, I want to thank Civic again for knowing that and still giving me the gig.
Not saying like, oh, well, goodbye.
Oh, well, okay, never mind. We'll get somebody else. Thanks a lot. That was great.
Yeah. And we're seeing chats through Civic Media coming through. Now everyone's hearing the news right now as the message is being dispersed. Melissa Kay, the very wonderful, wonderful Melissa Kay, award-winning host, Melissa Kay. I will miss you on the airways. Jane, you are fabulous. And Pat Kreitlow just sent a crying emoji, broken heart, and then hearts, because he loves emojis. Don't we love emojis?
Don't we just love emojis?
I will not ask you what the next chapter is right now. We'll talk about all that stuff in the weeks to come. And like I said, we're going to have wonderful discussions and have great laughs and maybe even listen to some things from the past. Who knows?
There's some interesting things from the past.
Folks, she was in radio in the 80s, so you know there's fun things happening there.
Oh, there's a commercial that I was in with one of my first partners.
Yeah.
Just for the perm. We need to share that just so you can see the perm I had in 1987.
It's not so much a perm, but a protective helmet of hair, which kept you from any enemies, foreign and or domestic. That it is really just, it's an arrow. It's like an arrow that points up to the sky to say, God, why? God, why?
You forget that we did those things.
Oh, I don't. I had a mother in the 80s who loved a good permanent set.
Who didn't love a good perm?
Exactly. And look at all of the wonderful things on the Live King Rack. Congratulations, Jane. We'll miss you. Miss RDT, love you, Jane. I miss you. I will miss you so much, but whatever you choose, you will excel. Congratulations. Robin Tiger just says, congratulations, Jane, on a very wonderful career. Very best in the future. You will be missed.
Thank you.
And Jenny says, though we've only begun getting to know one another, Jane deserves some rest and relaxation. It's time for the animals and gardens to have a full attention.
Now I can concrete the whole thing. Finally be happy.
Wow.
Concrete over my garden.
How's your garden? It's gone.
It's concrete.
It's absolutely gone.
If you are just joining us, our big announcement, our special big announcement.
Your special big announcement. I'm not going to. I need a job.
I am retiring next month. Yep. I will be retiring in December. My final show will be December 12th. All of that week leading up to my final day, we will have special guests and special things and special nightmares from my past.
We're not going to have special nightmares. That's not what's going to happen. Rita in La Crosse listening, WLCX, we're really going to miss you. Good luck on your new adventure. Kimberly in Wauwatosa listening on WAUK. Can we get a Jane Says t-shirt? We will miss you dearly. Merch, Kimberly, is a whole other topic.
We would love to get you a Jane Says t-shirt, Kimberly. That would be fabulous.
And Melissa in Stevens Point on WAUK says, love you, Jane and Greg. We love you right back. But it's going to be a fun next few weeks, and then I'm looking forward to your further adventures. And that whether you just sit in the back garden and read books and sip tea, or you decide to become an MI6 spy, unless you've been one this entire time.
I wasn't going to say that.
Oh my goodness!
Now you busted me.
Sorry about that. I don't know how to keep secrets.
My opportunity to finally pursue my passion in astrophysics.
No, astrophysics, absolutely. I mean,
have a passion for astrophysics.
Dr. Jane Matinere.
It is interesting though when you tell people that you're retiring, everybody says, "So what are you going to do?" I don't really. I'm going to live, I think, and goof around a little.
See, here's the thing okay, I'm glad you're saying this now, because you have brought this point up a few times. That's a perfectly legitimate question, and the answer you could always say was, I'm not sure yet. Not be baffled by it.
Well, it's almost like people expect you to have I'm going to write the next great American novel, and then I'm going to change the world.
No, they don't. They're just saying, hey, what's next? And if you say, I don't know, they're going to be like, okay. And then they're going to move on.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Wait, hey, Jane. Jane, let's try it.
Okay.
You're retiring?
I am retiring.
I just heard it listening to Civic Media.
You did.
This great show, Matt and Aaron Air, 9 to 11, Monday through Fridays. Catch it. What are you doing next?
I don't know.
Great. I got to go to the grocery store now. Cool. Thanks, man. Talk to you later. See, it's that simple.
If you have retired, I would love to know what you did.
Yes.
And what things you started to do after you said goodbye to work.
Were you able to just stop? Because I don't know anyone who's retired who is just like,
I'm done.
Today I'm just going to sit on the couch and watch some TV, and tomorrow, same thing. It's always, I got to do something.
Well, yeah, and I would love to hear from you if you have suggestions. what to do in retirement at 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Big announcements.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping up this weekend's edition of Civic Media Spotlight, we head to the Fox Valley, where Lisa Hale sat down with Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Herald. Enjoy a little Valley focus.
Today is my dear friend Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Herald. Hello, Karen.
Hello, Lisa.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Lots of stuff has been happening over the past couple of weeks. I know that paper is full of stories today. So what do you want to share with us? So
you're right. There is a lot in there. But there's a few things that we're going to talk about. First, we'll talk about SNAP, right? Mm-hmm. So today's paper, there's an article in there, and we've been hearing about it all over the place. But this one is taking a look at some of the board, Winnebago County Board of Supervisors, mm-hmm. who were really proactive in getting out there and doing community outreach efforts to in anticipation of building donation campaigns for the food pantries, knowing that if there's this gap in benefits that are going to come out, that there's going to be a lot more people that are going to be looking at, you know, putting something on their table.
Exactly.
You know, one of the initiatives is posting QR codes at businesses like Great Harvest, enabling customers to scan that in and make a donation directly to a food pantry. They were also encouraging people to post at the 15-page list that the county made available for all of the places that you can go for food to help, you know, put something in your tummy. So that URL is also posted in the story.
Good.
But the other thing is, you know, Winnebago County right away also made a financial contribution to the food pantries, mm-hmm. You know, during this, shall we call it a shutdown, totaling $40,000 through its Human Services Department. And the funding included $5,000 each for the Omro Community Food Pantry, as well as the Winnebago County Community Foundation. And then $10,000 each for St. Joseph Food Program, Oshkosh Area Community Pantry, and the Salvation Army. So those funds have already went out there.
So many people are coming out and saying, look, let's help our neighbors because, yes. You know.
The grassroots and the community outreach is just phenomenal. There's been a lot. There's been times that we see this locally. You know, we might be able to go back to, you know, almost 9/11 when people really became that community aware. Mm-hmm. I belong to Kiwanis and we had a sandwich making day and filled the Hope Fridge. And it's, you know, they're very active on Facebook as well for the Hope Fridge. And they're saying, you know, it gets filled and emptied several times a day. But the good thing is that it is getting filled by different organizations and families several times a day where that is there for people to take it. There's no judgment, right? If you,
right.
If you're hungry and you need something, you go and get it. There's no form or intake or anything like that. You just, you know, and there's typically, there's people waiting, right?
Yeah.
So I read yesterday, someone put half gallons of milk in the food pantry, Hope Fridge,
yeah.
You know, so those types of things are just, they're heartwarming. You know, people need that. You know, the different things that people are coming up with to help is just phenomenal. And it shows you what a great community we live in.
We really do. Oshkosh has really stepped up to the plate, mm-hmm. to take care of our neighbors who have less.
Exactly. And if you have elderly neighbors who typically would be receiving those too, check on them because they might not be able to get down to the Hope Fridge or to a pantry. But
right.
Double check on them and make sure that, you know, there's something in their fridge as well that they're able to not go hungry.
Exactly.
Food insecurity is no fun.
No, it's not. And you know, we're journalists, so we don't make a whole heck of a lot of money. So I know,
truth.
You know, I remember my salad days when there was nothing. And, you know, food insecurity is a very tough thing to go through, especially if you have a family. So what else do we have on, in the paper? We've spent a lot of time on SNAP, but I know you've got other stories.
So this is very cool, and it's kind of along the same line, but different. So there is an exhibit that is coming to UWO on November 13th, and it starts at 5 o'clock, and it is an exhibit called When the Ends Don't Meet. And this is by two classes that are over at UWO. So When the Ends Meet features an exhibit created and designed by UWO students in two experiential learning courses, Telling Stories for Fun, Profit, and World Peace with Grace Lim, who, of course, is also the Humans of Oshkosh. Mm-hmm. That's been going on for about 10 years. And that's kind of the impetus of when this project started. And so there's that. And then lecture in the University Studies program, Sex, Power, and Policy with Amber Luzfardi, who's an associate professor of political science. So the students in the Telling Stories class for Fun, Profit, and World Peace spent time during the semester documenting stories of individuals throughout. And then on the other side, taking a look at policies on how government and so forth can set policies to remove the gap, right, on hunger. And as a bonus, author Stephanie Land is also going to be the keynote speaker at this event. Now, if you've ever watched Made, which became a Netflix series, she is the author of Made. Gotcha. So she has lived experience. So she will be there during this day to talk about hunger and the different things that she has learned in her lifetime. So that, I think I said that, what is that? November 13th.
November 13th. Yep.
So remember that, November 13th, 5 p.m. And it's at the Culver Center at UWO. So easy access. There's parking right there and stuff. I'm really actually looking forward to that event. I think it's going to be very eye-opening and informative.
This story is in today's Oshkosh Herald. And we can pick that up where?
That is available at Piggly Wiggly, Festival Foods, most of the coffee houses downtown, as well as the BPs and Quick Trips around town.
And I know that you can get it online as well.
OshkoshHerald.com.
Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Herald, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. Have a great day.
This is Valley Focus, a production of WISS News.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.